Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, this is the Soundcheck Podcast. We're enjoying our remote soundcheck sessions, but it's nice to occasionally dip into the archives and hear what they sounded like when people actually came live into our studio. It's a little audio time travel from the soundcheck archives.
Sunlit shadows and moonlit days, don't let them bring it down, down, bring it down, don't let them bring it down, down, bring it down, don't let them bring it down, down, bring it down, don't let
From newsounds.org and streaming live on Facebook, this is the Soundcheck Podcast. I'm John Schaefer. Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn have, between the two of them during their separate careers, really reimagined what the banjo can be. In Bela's music, you hear echoes of jazz, classical, folk, rock, world music. Abigail is fluent in Mandarin and has drawn connections with her voice and banjo between Chinese and Appalachian music. But when you put this husband and wife team together, their own records tend towards a more old-school front porch sound. Their latest album is called Echo in the Valley. And from it, we're going to hear a live performance of the song Over the Divide. Here, live on Soundcheck, are Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn. Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn, returning to our Soundcheck studio with a live performance of Over the Divide. That's the opening track of their latest album called Echo in the Valley. pair of banjos and Abby singing, and it's great to have you guys back with us.
Thank you for having us, John.
So this album, it presents as a kind of old-fashioned, you know, family sitting around the front porch playing banjos together, until you actually start to parse some of the lyrics and, you know, some of the harmonies are very kind of contemporary sounding as well. Is this an album about a kind of written in response to difficult times?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, may you live in interesting times.
Yeah, the old Confucian curse. You
know? Yes, it certainly is. So, yeah, I mean, we're definitely one of the songs to reflect the life we're living.
I would say it's equal parts a response to this hard times in terms of society that we live in, but also an equal part about parenting and being a parent in this day and age, and the softness and the tenderness and the compassion that creates inside of us.
Yeah, like for instance, the song we just did is celebrating something really cool about this Austrian shepherd, sheep herder. Why don't you tell it? Because
he's a Jewish Austrian yodeling sheep herder. That last
Hans
song
Brewer.
Named Hans Brewer, mm-hmm. And we read an article about him during the height of the Syrian refugee crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And he lives in the mountains of Austria near the Austro-Hungarian border. And his family and friends had been ferried to safety through the night during the Holocaust. And so he decided he'd get in his little minivan and drive over the unmarked roads that only sheep herders know to the other side of the Austro-Hungarian border. And he found all kinds of Syrians who had walked that far through the fields and picked them up in his minivan and drove them back over the border. He knew exactly what to do in that moment, you know, exactly what to do.
There are those little moments that kind of remind you of what humanity means,
exactly.
At its most elemental.
Exactly, and being new parents, that's another piece of being human beings in this mm-hmm.
right.
day and age.
Now, so young Juno, your child,
yes.
He's got to be like 3 or 4 now,
he's 4
right?
And a half.
He's 4 and a half.
Oh, my God.
I know. I remember being here when I was big and pregnant. My banjo was out over my belly like that.
Yeah. he is the son of 2 incredible banjo players, but he plays...
Golf.
He's a golf freak, and he's getting pretty amazing. He can really hit that ball a long way now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
So we're in our retirement, we're going to be caddies.
So this album, you know, in addition to having, you know, this kind of evocation of a simpler time and acknowledgement of contemporary problems, also has lots of sounds that, again, if you're listening closely, will make you kind of scratch your head and say, what was that?
Mm.
There's something that sounds like a bass. Mm. On this album.
Oh, yes, that is a bass, but it's a bass banjo. See, one of the things is that the only instruments we're going to play are going to be banjos, and one of the other rules, these are the rules of the recording.
We want to share with people that we believe banjos are glorious and that 2 banjos can make a whole record and
mm-hmm.
we don't need anything else.
So the banjos can be any kind of banjos.
Any kind.
Okay.
So
there's no restrictions there, and in fact, this bass banjo turned up one day, came into my life. I was up in Rochester looking in this great music store, and I said, oh my God, there's a bass banjo. I called Abby, you won't believe it, there's a bass banjo in this store, and she said, don't come home without it. I said, yeah, that's my baby. So we got this 1905 Fairbanks bass banjo, and so we got to use that on one of the tracks, and we'll use it more hopefully if we can figure out how to travel with it. It's huge.
I was going to say,
bigger than a stand-up bass.
Is it a stand-up instrument?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So pin.
You can't put it in your lap.
Unless you're a giant.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. And then there's something that, for lack of a better word, I will call slide banjo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I use a slide banjo on some stuff. Abby is also playing some slidey banjo, fretless banjo, but we're also not afraid to run it through a little bit of distortion, which we've actually been doing live this whole last couple of years anyway. A very slight amount of crunch.
And we also hit our banjos to create percussive sounds.
Well, sure.
Too.
I mean, just look at it. It's essentially a frame drum with a neck and strings attached.
It's begging for it to be slapped. So that sort of thing, you know, we have a lot of fun with that. But we wanted it to be music we could play live, and everything you hear on the record can be played live.
And so was part of that decision-making the idea that the two of you could tour and have Juno tour with you so that you could all be together as a family?
Exactly. That's sort of been the concept of the duo from the beginning, is the time for us to finally get together and play music together, and we've been married for quite a while. Yeah. It was when we had a child, and we didn't want to be the typical sad story of the musicians who one of them's on the road and the other one's at home with the baby, and they get estranged, et cetera. It's a typical sad story, I guess, in a lot of businesses, traveling salesmen too, but we didn't want to do it that way, so we haven't.
Now, I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here with technicalities of playing techniques, but there are, I'm like claw hammer.
Oh, yeah.
Is that one way of sort of establishing a sonic space for each of the instruments is to use different
techniques? We just do basically use different techniques. I can't play Bela's way and he can't play my way. So I play old time clawhammer style. Clawhammer uses downstrokes and uses my real fingernails. I have no picks. Bela has picks.
Okay.
And then I pull off with my thumb. So the basic roll would be a strike down with one fingernail on the second string, and then a pull off. This is my basic roll. There are different ways people do it, but and then a pull off on the neck, and then a strike down with my middle finger on the first string, and a pull up on the fifth string, the drone string.
And she uses the open strings.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then so the other technique is the three-finger technique?
I'm getting the right banjo for this. The three-finger technique is done with the same three fingers Abby's using to pluck the strings, but they're all plucked. The thumb plucks down, fingers pluck up.
And so you have...
You alternate them.
And you have metal picks attached
to.
And so
metal picks on two fingers and a plastic pick on the thumb, and by rotating those picks over the open strings... Basically, that's what Earl Scruggs came up with, this idea of alternating the fingers so no finger is actually moving that fast and this effortless flow of notes. And Abby also has an effortless flow of notes, but she gets them with a different technique.
Okay. So which is the superior technique?
Oh, definitely
clawhammer. The three-finger style.
Doing what I can to keep the marriage strong and healthy.
And all scholars agree that the three-finger style is the superior style.
All people with taste actually believe that the clawhammer style is superior.
I like the two together. So,
hey! Yeah.
So, all right, I made you pick up wrong banjos to do this little demonstration. I'll give you a moment to pick up the right ones for this next song.
We were playing our main normal tuned banjos, but now we're going to go into a lower world. I'll be playing a baritone banjo, which is about a fifth below. And Abby will be playing a cello banjo, which is more like an octave below where we were.
And which is a five-string instrument with a notably larger body than a conventional banjo.
I think it's 16-inch diameter, and that one is 12-inch.
Yeah. All right. And the song is called Bloomin' Rose. Abigail Washburn, Bela Fleck, live on Soundcheck.
Soften my birth. Blue heavens shelter me deep beneath an evergreen sky. I withdrew from the light of the sun. Four walls became my home. I could feel my body grow weak with every passing year. She was a rose, a blooming rose. Shadow, farewell, my rose, my blooming rose. Only a trace, then the building quickened its pace.
Will you sign this paper, my friend, and pour the whiskey round? And the big wheels barreled on through, and the towers rise up all around, till there's nothing left we can do but watch her spiraling down. She was a rose, a blooming rose, come and go in shadow, farewell my rose, my blooming rose.
Lovely song from Abigail Washburn and Bela Fleck. It's actually the concluding track on their collaborative record, their latest album called Echo in the Valley, a song called Bloomin' Rose. That song about promises made and not kept to the Native Americans. And
also about our lack of connection to the earth.
Yeah, most of us. I mean, I think Bela and I related on this very point, which was we feel, as humans, we generally have continued to quarter ourselves off from nature. And because of that, we lose a real connection to humanity.
Right, right. So in a kind of funny way, a similar thing is behind a couple of other songs on this album that deal with the coal mining community, which you would think is, in one way it is about, you know, kind of an abuse of the earth and the environment. But on the other hand, there is a culture and, you know, a community.
A pride within whole communities. Yeah.
Why should things be simple? You know, it's right, not one way. Right. Like it's a way of life for a lot of people and a very tough one. But this is not a new song. This is not something we wrote. This is something that we loved, that we had heard.
The song
Come All You Coal Miners,
written by a woman named Sarah Ogan Gunning. And she lived in East Kentucky and was raised in coal camps and was the wife and daughter of coal miners.
As she says in the song, yes.
And I mean, honestly, just in terms of songs that have been recorded of women telling personal stories, there just aren't that many.
Right.
And so when we heard this, when I heard this, I was really struck by it because I hear, I am a coal miner's wife. And I immediately go, tell me, girl, what is it? What's going on? And I just felt really drawn to it and to a deep place of empathy for her and her story. And, you know, part of the main reason we titled our record Echo in the Valley is because we feel like part of the reason I think both of us love old music so much is because of these voices that are talking about the same things we're talking about now. And we've been talking about these things for centuries, about the trials and tribulations of being a human being, the suffering, the hope.
You know, what's interesting, one of the things that's interesting about this is, you know, you talk about loving these old songs that have been around for centuries. Women in those songs are generally not given a whole lot of agency.
No.
You know, you think of something like Pretty Polly, where she's there just to be killed.
Yes.
You know?
In most murder ballads.
Yeah. So to have this song written and sung from a woman's point of view, mm-hmm. I can see, Abby, why that would be kind of startling in a good way.
And I was like, talk to me, Sarah. And
plus, then it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. And because she was inspired by old Appalachian music because of where she lived, and her culture was that. And she was actually discovered, I guess you could say, by the folk revival of the 30s, Woody Guthrie and people like that, through Aunt Molly Jackson, which was her sister-in-law, who came up to New York City. And she finally brought Sarah Ogan Gunning with her. And that's how Sarah Ogan Gunning got heard.
It's also one of the songs that, you know, in the kind of ornamentation of your vocal line, I hear echoes of your work with the Chinese songs.
Oh, cool. I love that you do.
I don't know.
I hear
that
it in everything.
Okay,
so
fine. All right. As long as I'm not hearing things.
I hear it in everything.
Another thing I'll throw in is that Abby started singing this song. The first time she started doing this song, we were playing in West Virginia, like right on near Charleston, and right around the time that the river had been incredibly polluted. And Abby said, oh, maybe I'll do that song. I was like, really? All right, go for it. And she did this song. It was actually on a mountain stage, and half of the audience went ballistic, and the other half sat with their hands folded and their teeth clenched. And she did it from then on, and I always loved that you did it. It's got a couple of powerful lines in it that don't 100%. We're singing a song, this other person's song. This doesn't mean it's our point of view, but we like the strength of it and the things it makes you stop and think about. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, Abby continued to do the song solo for several years, and then as we got ready to do the album, I said, boy, it would be great to find a way to have that song on this record. And so we started trying to see if there was a way that I could get in on it. Mm-hmm. And Abby had to sing it a whole different way.
Yeah.
It was
challenging.
And I think it is more, she did have to dig into her toolbox a little deeper to find ways to play it with the banjo.
All right, well, let's hear another live performance here in the Soundcheck studio. Come All You Coal Miners is the name of it. It's Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn. Thank you.
Dear minor little slave, you tell you can't work no more. And what do you get for a living? But a dollar at the company store. A tumble down shack to live in. Snow and rain pours in the top. You have to pay the company rent, and your pain it never stops. I am a coal miner's wife. I'm sure I wish you well. Let's sink this capitalist system in the darkest pits of hell.
Come All You Coal Miners, sung by Abigail Washburn, Bela Fleck playing the banjo. It's an amazing song. Think how much better it would be if it were played in the Clawhammer style.
You know, I was thinking the same thing. Well, it was every night, John. I think.
And yeah, and if I sang it and she played,
oh, yeah,
then that would be even be better.
Oh,
yes.
Can we try that?
I would pay cash dollars to see that.
I would too.
Last time, Abby, you were here was with the Chinese artist Wu Fei.
That's right.
Doing banjo and the Chinese, the guzheng.
Guzheng, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is Wu Force, the group that you guys part of, is that still happening? Do you have time for that?
Yeah, well, I think the world needs the Wu Force. I wish there
Absolutely.
Was a way to get it out there more.
In lieu of the Wu Force, there is an incredible duo project that Abby and Wu Fei have recorded, which I had the privilege of producing,
yep.
That's intertwining folk music from both countries,
mm-hmm.
and often in the same song, multilingual, and just the two of them, and it's really
right.
special, and it'll be coming.
I think that's some of the material you played for us
last
time you were here. And for you, Bela, the last concerto that you wrote was named for your son, for the Juno Concerto. Will there be a third concerto?
Yes, there will be a third concerto if I can finally figure out how to finish this thing. I'm getting down to the wire. It's a piece that I was commissioned to write for the Louisiana Symphony to celebrate the tricentennial of New Orleans, using a lot of themes and little ideas from different Louisiana music, from the early jazz and some Cajun music and some call and response gospel stuff and so forth.
Ever think of writing a double banjo concerto?
Mm.
I have.
Yeah.
I have. In fact, that's something that I think would be great. Now, Abby and I have gotten to perform with orchestra, but it's more been like someone writing a chart
right.
for our music, and we do like a pops kind of thing. But it's lovely, and it's something that I think we would enjoy doing more of and doing a real serious piece together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
Double banjo concerto.
Yeah. It would be fun.
In the meantime, Abby, Bela, it's always great to have you guys here with us in the studio. Thanks so much
Thank
for
you.
Coming in.
It's Same always here. So good to be here with you. Thanks, John.
This is Soundcheck. That Soundcheck session came from our archives. You can hear lots more and check out our newly produced remote sessions on our website, newsounds.org. Our technical director is Irene Trudell, our producer, Karen Havlick, and I'm John Schaefer.